has ruled that the merger between Memphis City Schools and its surrounding county school district is legal. It paves the way to create a school system with 150,000 students in 2013. District Judge Samuel Mays' Monday ruling says that the Memphis City School Board acted legally when it surrendered its right to exist last December to force a merger with the more successful Shelby County School System. With IRN, USA Radio News, I'm Hope Duggar.
I'm child behavioral therapist James Lehman. I know you need the Total Transformation Program to turn around your child's behavior, but for some reason you haven't tried it. Maybe you're skeptical and doubt that it will work for you and your child. Listen, I'm willing to give away 1,000 copies of the Total Transformation to the most skeptical of parents for free. All I need you to do is send me your feedback about how it works for you and your child, and the program will be free. You get the program for free, and I get the satisfaction of knowing how the Total Transformation helped your child. Anyone who says they can change your child's behavior should be willing to prove it. We're going to prove once and for all that the Total Transformation Program works for every behavior problem imaginable. And it'll be free to 1,000 of my most skeptical customers.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402. That's 1-800-586-1402.
Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
Just stay out the bushes!
Look for the union labor.
Republican or Democrat is one and the same.
Citizens need to be armed in order to protect themselves against a tyrannical government.
It's time for Battle Line with Alan Nathan.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. I'm ever yours, Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is The Oasis. For those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach, and absolutely delighted you could be with us, if this is your virgin voyage, allow me to share with you our mantra. Folks, we want the Republicans out of our bedroom, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. We feel there exists this cavernous gap separating the two orthodoxies, and that it's a gap comprised of many degreed thinking people who can argue quite passionately in shades of gray. And to that end, each and every show, we have fine guests to help best illustrate this point. Today is no exception. Also, if you wish to hook up with us on the web, it's www.alannathan.com. Don't forget that email address, alan@alannathan.com. That's A-L-A-N. Coming at you live and strong each and every Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Drive Time. Don't forget the overnight show, 2 to 4, as well as the classic Battle Line Saturdays, 6 to 7, and, of course, overnight Sundays, 3 to 4. We are indeed a Main Street Radio Network production. Happy to be with our new distributors, both Lifestyle Talk Radio as well as Biznos Talk Radio, respectively. Yours truly is now entering his 14th year of national syndication with this very same show, Battle Line with Alan Nathan, into its 14th year. All thanks to you. So thank you very much. So very much. Lots to get into, and as per the norm, never enough time, but what a heady day. The stock's dropping over 600 points in Wall Street. Unbelievable. Democrats say the Tea Party's resistance to raising the debt ceiling triggered America's credit downgrade, dropping from AAA to AA+, courtesy of S&P. What does that downgrade really mean to us, and how will it all impact the president's reelection hope? One thing we have to look at is understanding that we are not at the mercy of Congress when it comes to finally getting things straightened in a constitutional format, if you will. We got to remember, the Constitution, that's the template for everything else. I mean, essentially, the Constitution is the people's written directive, if you will, to the very government it created. And sometimes we just forget that. The only time, actually, we can legitimately revolt against the government is when that government has been caught red-handed rebelling against the American people, the very same people it purports to serve. And you'll see this actually happens when it violates the Constitution on point. That's when you know that the government has rebelled against the people, the one time the people are allowed to legitimately revolt against an otherwise rebellious government. And too many party bosses and politicos forget that the Constitution, as I just mentioned, is indeed the people's written directive to the very government it created. And really, guys, none of these branches has the right to thwart that document. You can't thwart the very document from which your powers are derived and to which you are each subordinate. Can't be done. And the question looming ahead for us is, will this government rebel against us by violating the unambiguous limits of interstate commerce by choosing to back Barack Obama's Affordable Care Act, in which folks are forced to buy insurance they might not wish to purchase. I mean, as it stands, unless the judiciary reacquaints itself enough with the Queen's English to rule that Congress and the President have indeed violated said limits of the Interstate Commerce Clause in Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, I suspect this revolt would happen. I just don't see that occurring. I don't think we're that crazy. I don't think it's going to get down to that point. I think we will be able to jettison this, and accordingly, by doing so, drop about $1 trillion in expected waste, fraud, and abuse, and excessive expense that we can't afford. I mean, this is where we're at. And again, while the revolt would be from the people, it would only be a response to the government rebellion to which the people had been subjected. It would only be after that. I hope it doesn't come to that. But only the courts, actively remembering their co-equal status of subordination to the Constitution, will keep that from happening. But that's what we are. That's what we are. I personally have a lot more faith in us than most others might, because I believe that even though, as I mentioned earlier, the Democrats have a knack for gravitating to the lowest common denominating perspective, essentially betting on the stupidity of the people to get past most of their agenda, I think folks do eventually wake up. And it's not that they've been unintelligent all along. They've just underestimated the degree of hunger behind those who wish to oppress them in the name of goodness. All right, because electrifying social services has always been the tool by which the oppressor is successfully oppressed. They lure you in, give you a sense that you'll be taken care of, and then when you develop your reliance upon them, well, then for that reliance comes a degree of expectation. You're thought of as somebody who will just be on board for the votes they need as they need them whenever it's required. That's what we're looking at. And I think it's a shame. So many factors indicating that we need to wrest free our government from these politicos. And I get tired of us thinking that, you know, only through Democrats or Republicans can we hope to find our way out. That's just not acceptable. We do have other options. We'll always have other options. And at one point or another, we're going to make sure those options are heard. We're not going to be talked into any longer having to demonstrate a double standard tolerance for the intolerance of others against us. When I say us, I mean those who just basically want to get up each and every day, have their own life, leave me alone, I want to be on my own, I want to have self-determination, individual prosperity, autonomy in private living and thinking. Hell, I'm a social progressive. I can outlive the best of them. I am pro-choice, pro-gay rights, pro-gay marriage, pro-social safety net. But you know what? I don't think that in order for me to enjoy those things, I have to be willing to give up, or if you will, relinquish my rights to individual prosperity. That's why the GOP actually do have a point when they discuss lower taxes, smaller government, originalist judges who do not believe that the Constitution is something that could be amended in the name of the court's right to interpret it. Okay? And you know what? There's a lot of Americans out there, such as myself. They want fiscal conservatism. They do embrace a need for our national defense. But at the same time, they're social progressives. They just don't believe that they have to go the way of the collectivists in order to continue enjoying their social progressivism. Not necessary. So that's the funny thing about the conservatives. Yeah, obviously they're going to be comprised of also a lot of social conservatives. But on balance, if that party's in power, the left is not going to lose any of their privileges to be as left as they want. But when the left are in charge, most assuredly, anybody with dissent to offer is ripe for having those rights usurped. We see it, just how they treat the Constitution. It's just unfortunate. But that's where we are. Certain obvious things are missing them. And their response is always complete obliviousness over their own role in anything. I mean, when you think about it, what about our $45 billion shortfall, as discussed by the Congressional Budget Office, is not getting through to people? A $45 billion shortfall for Social Security in fiscal year 2011. And that's because we're going to be paying out more in benefits than we accept in payroll taxes. And this is going to be the case through at least 2021 without some kind of legislative change. We also found out that the Social Security's disability fund is going to be empty by 2017. The CBO has also projected, obviously, a $1.6 trillion deficit for this year, which, when added to our current $14.3 trillion national debt, brings us to a total national debt of what, $15.9 trillion? I mean, given that our economy's entire size is only about $15 trillion, that means by the end of this fiscal year, we will have accumulated more debt than our country is worth. I mean, at what point do we say no more spending? When do we say that nothing is sacrosanct? Whether it's Social Security, infrastructure projects, entitlements, corporate welfare, the size of the federal payroll, defense, Medicare, unemployment benefits, earmark projects for everything from researching why Eastern European men drink too much to the mating habits of the Himalayan yak. I mean, come on, who cares? Well, Social Security, I take back. That's a different story. Both parties have unforgivably used Social Security's largesse as a way to camouflage their own fiscal mismanagement. By both parties constantly having Social Security being kept online as opposed to offline, they've been able to use it to obscure otherwise less than flattering numbers. So yeah, it's true, the trajectory shows that we have fewer people paying in than that are paying out, or rather, I should say, fewer people paying in than are taking money out, because the retirement rolls are growing and growing and growing. The baby boomers are, of course, going to be astronomical in their expectation. But you know what? On balance, we did have a surplus for years. But now all we have are these IOU notes sitting in a dusty drawer as if it represents something. Folks, when you get your Social Security check, you're getting nothing but money from general revenue. There's nothing in there. So I want to protect Social Security because it did not cause this harm. I think we can go after everything else and leave that the hell alone. One thing we have to understand is we have to reject the democratic notion that for some reason the fear over the consequences for wrongdoing should now be the grounds for not stopping it. Sorry. We got to correct things. It's going to cause pain. And at one point or another, all of us have to execute some greater capacity for self.
I need a three-phase cooling tower motor to stay in business. Business.
At Grainger, we know what business you're in.
If we take good care of our customers, they'll take good care of us. Business.
The business of getting things done. That's why we offer over 900,000 products and the support you need to get your job done right and on time. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by one of our branches. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And now the bonus round. If absence makes the heart grow fonder, what does presence make?
I want to say crab dip.
Correct. Finish this sequence. Tree, sky.
Transubstantiationalism.
Correct. What can you watch instantly with Netflix?
Unlimited TV episodes and movies.
Correct. Watch unlimited TV episodes and movies for only $8 a month from Netflix. See terms of use.
Ma'am, are you crying?
I cry when I'm happy.
Well, that makes two of us.
Cancer. We've all been touched by it in some way. We have an idea what cancer is and have seen what it can do. But now, with advances in science, cancer care is getting more personal than ever before. We now know that some forms of cancer have specific genetic characteristics. The goal of personalized medicine is to treat these cancers in a targeted way. Cancer It's Personal is a program that offers information about personalized medicine and tips for talking to your doctor. Dr. Charles Balch, past president of the Society of Surgical Oncology, explains.
Personalized medicine means doctors may use information about cells and genes in a cancer tumor to try and find targeted ways to treat it. Now, doctors can test some cancer tumors for biomarkers, which are genetic clues that tell us how that cancer may act. This helps us see if a treatment may be more likely to work, so we can target the right treatment for the right patient.
If you or someone you know has cancer, ask your doctor if biomarker testing is right for you. Visit canceritspersonal.com. Brought to you by Pfizer Oncology.
I'm child behavioral therapist James Lehman. I know you need the Total Transformation Program to turn around your child's behavior, but for some reason you haven't tried it. Maybe you're skeptical and doubt that it will work for you and your child. Listen, I'm willing to give away 1,000 copies of The Total Transformation to the most skeptical of parents for free. All I need you to do is send me your feedback about how it works for you and your child, and the program will be free. You get the program for free, and I get the satisfaction of knowing how The Total Transformation helped your child. Anyone who says they can change your child's behavior should be willing to prove it. We're going to prove once and for all that the Total Transformation Program works for every behavior problem imaginable. And it'll be free to 1,000 of my most skeptical customers.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402. That's 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402.
We all want the best for ourselves and our families, right? But it's not always easy or practical to actually own the thing that's the absolute best in its class. Fortunately, when it comes to the eggs you serve, you can actually experience the best. Eggland's Best. In the world of eggs, Eggland's Best are unique and special. They come from hens that are fed a patented, high-quality, all-natural, all-vegetarian diet without added hormones, antibiotics, or steroids of any kind. This produces eggs that have superior taste and superior nutrition. In fact, Eggland's Best tastes like no other, with more of the delicious farm-fresh taste you love. It's no surprise that Eggland's Best have won many taste awards, including the gold medal for superior taste, appearance, and freshness from the American Masters of Taste. Eggland's Best are winners when it comes to nutrition, too. Compared to regular eggs, Eggland's Best provide 10 times more vitamin E, 3 times more vitamin B12, and 2 times more vitamin D, yet they have 25% less saturated fat. Superior taste and nutrition add up to superior value, too, so why settle for any old egg when you can experience the best? Eggland's Best. Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. I'm yours, Alan Nathan, the Militant Moderate, once again. This is the Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach. And, of course, we're covering what everyone's going nuts over with. I mean, it's just inescapable. No way to get around it. Sort of stupefying when you think about it. The Dow dropping 634 points. 634 points. And the carnage, it just went all over the place. Again, Dow Jones plunged, according to the CNBC, 634.76 points, or 5.55% to finish at 10,809.85. This, of course, well below the psychologically significant 11,000 mark. Also, not to be left out of the equation, the S&P 500 plummeted 79.92 points, or 6.66%, to close at 1,119.46, its lowest since September 10th of 2010. And finally, the NASDAQ sank 174.72, or 6.90%, to end at 2,357.69, its lowest close since October of last year. Assisting me in the Opani department, old friends of the show, my regular for this time of the day, Amy Ridenhour, this time of the day and week, I should say, Amy Ridenhour, president of the National Center for Public Policy Research. She's also author of the highly acclaimed book entitled Shattered Lives. This analyzes the 100 worst examples of government-managed care. You can get a free copy by going to the website at visitnationalcenter.org. Again, that's visitnationalcenter.org. Amy, good to have you back.
Hello, Alan.
And on board as well, Robert Wiener, Democratic strategist, columnist, former communications director for Clinton Drug Czar General Barry McCaffrey, and former chief of staff for the House Committee on Aging. Bob, good to have you as well.
It's a pleasure to be with you one day before the Wisconsin recall is going to say a heck of a lot about all of this.
Yeah, right. It's going to be emblematic of squat. Don't care. It's anything to do with this. Why do you want to have these linking relationships where you really cannot substantiate them? Let me ask you that, Bob. Why? Why is this Wisconsin recall going to have anything to do with the Dow dropping as it did?
The fury about the Republican forced cuts in Wisconsin is going to be endemic of what people think about the Tea Party downgrade, the straitjacket choices, the brinkmanship, the polls that show that Congress is at 18 versus Obama's 41, the 2-1 that blame the Republicans for this forced situation of tying the debt limit ceiling to cuts, which should have been done as separate policy.
Amy,
that's what Obama said all along.
Amy, if memory serves correctly, Bush had better poll ratings than Congress did before the 2006, and I should say before the 2008. And yet that still didn't stop the Democrats from picking up that many more seats in 08, yes?
Well, Congress's approval ratings have been terrible for years. That includes when the Democrats ran the place
and when the Republicans run half of it.
So why is it a measure of anything?
Big conclusions.
Yeah, I don't understand then why it's a measure of anything. I mean, Bob, what you just cited were numbers.
The blame of Republicans is what I'm talking about by 2-1 by the American people right now.
What's that?
They're forcing the brinkmanship and the cuts to be tied to the debt ceiling. Their fear and the refusal to have any rich give tax break give back.
But you don't really care about what the polls think. You're perfectly fine with Obamacare, and the polls are still against that. So
not
why is it the polls should be listened?
When people say that it should have been stronger, then the polls are very clear. People always add in the negatives, including the people that think it should have been an even stronger bill. That's a gross falling, and it's one which we have corrected and which some media have picked up on.
Amy, is that true? Has the country now turned around on Obamacare and now preferred by greater numbers than are disappointed in it?
No. If anything, Obamacare is hurting the recovery, if we can even use the phrase the recovery anymore. It's making businesses afraid to add new employees. And no, the polls aren't showing that people like it better. This is a fantasy, but I have to say this. Talking about who's to blame and looking at polls all the time isn't what fixes problems. It keeps us mired in them.
No, there's something to be said about that, Bob. And again, what you're just citing as being in Obama's favor was also for Bush as well. Bush had very similar negatives as Obama, but he still looked better than did Congress. But even though he looked better than did Congress, that didn't stop the GOP from still losing more and more ground. So I don't know why you bring these two as linking, but let me move on a little bit.
Because they blamed Bush for the Iraq War and for the economy in that case.
Well, how can you blame Bush?
Still blame Bush more.
The majority of Democrats in Congress supported the war in Iraq. I don't know why Bush gets disproportionately blamed. How does that happen? I don't know why it is you guys think you get to walk away from your votes just because things didn't turn out as originally preferred. And later on, you found out that the majority of your base was in opposition to you guys when the majority of your representatives casted that vote. Amy, am I missing anything?
No. I mean, what we're dealing with here is people who think first about what their talking points are instead of what's best for the country. The conversations we should be having are about how to move forward while reducing the debt.
And you know what?
We're going to take up an awful lot that we could be cutting while maintaining a very nice safety net for people who need it. But if we never talk about it seriously, we won't do it.
Does that include the Tea Party? Should they be talking about how to move forward here and the fact that you can't create money out of no revenues? Duh.
Actually, there is not a single sane economist who will tell you that the debt reduction potential is greater through tax increases than it is through spending cuts. It just doesn't exist. The math doesn't exist. We could go ahead and take all the wealthy people and, if you will, spank them with a 100% tax hike, and the dollars will be infinitesimal next to the other dollars of debt reduction that could be achieved from spending cuts. Do you really not know that, Bob?
Actually, the economists that have been on television have said that the spending cuts are 3-1 less effective than the revenues
economists
would be
on
in
television.
Ending this deficit crisis.
Your
point is not well taken, Alan.
Yes.
Bob, if what you said were true, then the S&P would not have worked as it did.
Well, they can't count by $2 trillion, but besides that, and they didn't count the mortgage crisis that they miscalculated on.
Let me
either.
Tell you something, baby doll. Yes. Let me tell you something, Bubula. You want to talk about people who can't count? The original debt reduction plan by Harry Reid for the debt ceiling debate was absurd. What did he cite, about $1 trillion or so from the wars winding down, even though those dollars were never planned or pegged for future spending? You can't have spending cuts for an amount that isn't being spent. If that was a windfall, it's a windfall. But Harry Reid, trying to be too cute by half, wanted to call a windfall as if it were the same as either A, a tax increase, or B, a spending cut, none of which proved to fly. I don't know why he even tried.
You know what the S&P said? Because no one wants to read this in the media except for your friend John Gizzi, who actually had the courage to report it. This is what S&P actually said. The majority of Republicans in Congress continue to resist any measure that would raise revenues.
Yes, that's part of what it said, Bob. But some of us read the entire thing because we're not morons. And it also talked about all the overspending. Why don't
of
you
course.
Pick things out of context?
Of course.
Because Bob, like most...
to allow a balanced approach, that would have solved the whole thing months ago.
But the word balanced in this sense is in and of itself imbalanced because it assumes a mythical equivalency that is simply not there. Balance means, proportion to the left or right, a relative evenness. But we all know that tax hikes are not on a par with spending cuts when it comes to what each represents as the greatest potential for debt reduction. Denotatively or connotatively, this is intellectually disingenuous. If you compare the debt reduction potential from spending cuts versus tax increases, it would be like comparing a bathtub to a sink. We all know this, but we're still making believe as if it's potentially not true. We know the opposite. Stick with us, Battleline.
You hear a lot of talk about which car is best, which smartphone is best, which auto insurance company is best. You know the drill. But I wonder if I could talk with you for a minute about another kind of best, one very close to my heart, or should I say stomach? I'm talking about eggs. That's right, delicious farm-fresh eggs cooked up hot and flavorful for breakfast, lunch, dinner, whatever. To me, there's only one egg that truly is the best, the one that towers above all the others, Eggland's Best Eggs. What makes Eggland's Best the best? Well, first of all, there's the taste. I gotta say, no other egg tastes as fresh and delicious as Eggland's Best. I love mine over easy, but they're great any way you cook them. And then there's the nutrition. The fact is, compared to regular eggs, all-natural Eggland's Best gives you more of the superior nutrition your body needs. Things like 10 times more vitamin E, 3 times more vitamin B12, and 2 times more vitamin D, plus 25% less saturated fat. Pretty exceptional, don't you think? So let the car companies and phone companies fight over who's best. When it comes to eggs, there's only one best. Eggland's Best. Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs.
Women of all ages dreaming about their own nuptials. According to wedding planner Corey McFan Spoler,
a wedding planner, whether it be here at Disney's Fairytale Weddings or even in your back hometown, is a wonderful asset. They know the business, they know all the different things about food and what things that you may need in your event and what you could cut and how to actually keep you on track to allow you to be a guest on your most special day. Your job is to sit back, relax, and spend time with your wedding guests.
Visit DisneyWeddings.com. Some might think the perfect cup of coffee is something that can only be found at a favorite coffee shop, but it is possible to brew gourmet-quality coffee right in your kitchen. Folgers Black Silk Coffee is a good choice for those looking for robust flavors. Make sure your coffee is properly packed and stored to preserve the flavor. Add steamed or frothed milk to your coffee to provide creamy flavor and texture. Visit www.folgers.com. I'm John Dridden.
I have something to confess. I just love eggs. Eggs for breakfast, eggs for lunch, for dinner, you name it. To me, eggs are all about freshness, wholesomeness, and home. As I said, I just love them. And the eggs I love best? That's easy. Eggland's Best. No other egg I've tried tastes as farm fresh and delicious. I love my EB's sunny side up, but they're great any way you prepare them. And lest you think Eggland's eggs are only about superior taste, let me tell you about their superior nutrition. Compared to ordinary eggs, Eggland's Best have 10 times more vitamin E, 3 times more vitamin B12, and 2 times more vitamin D. Plus, they're a good source of omega-3s and lutein. Oh, and I almost forgot to mention, they have 25% less saturated fat than regular eggs. Now that's what I call a super egg. Look for all-natural Eggland's Best at your local grocers in regular, cage-free, and organic varieties. If you love eggs the way I do, it's time you experienced eggs at their best. Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition. Better eggs.
If you're a business owner and you want to grow your business through direct mail with no out-of-pocket costs, keep listening. More customers equal more money, right? Well, now you can get more customers in your store using direct mail with no upfront costs through foot traffic marketing. If your store does $10,000 or more a month in credit card sales, foot traffic marketing will design for you a custom direct mail campaign with no upfront costs. Call now for free information and to learn more. 800-709-4744. 800-709-4744. Again, if you know that direct mail can help your business grow and your store already does at least $10,000 or more in credit card sales, call now and learn how you can get more customers with no upfront costs. 800-709-4744. 800-709-4744. 800-709-4744.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think nobody's home and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer at 1-866-789-3377. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-866-789-3377. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement, $35.99 per month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and protect your home license numbers. Call now, 1-866-789-3377. That's 1-866-789-3377.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. I'm ever yours, Alan Nathan, the Militant Moderate. Once again, this is the Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach. Democrats say the Tea Party's resistance to raising the debt ceiling triggered America's credit downgrade. Also, what does that downgrade mean to us, and how will it all impact the president's re-election hopes? We have a sister, me in the Opani Department, old friends of the show, my regulars for this time of the day and week, Amy Ridenour, president of the National Center for Public Policy Research and author of the highly acclaimed book entitled Shattered Lies. This thing analyzes the 100 worst examples of government-managed care casualties. You can check out the book at visitnationalcenter.org. Again, visitnationalcenter.org. Amy, always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Always a delight as well. Robert Wiener, Democratic strategist, columnist, former communications director for Clinton Drug Czar General Barry McGaffrey, and former chief of staff of the House Committee on Aging. Bob also is a former communications director for Congressman Rangel and Conyers of New York and Michigan, respectively. Good to have you back, buddy.
It's a pleasure. I just looked up on the chart. The Bush tax cuts are 30% of the deficit, 30% of the two wars, and 30% of the recession. So let's play with the facts that they are,
okay,
not the way we'd like them to be.
Okay, let's talk about the facts. There are less than 250,000 people in this country that make over $10 million a year. If you tax them at 100%, you take care of very, very, very little of our deficit. And 100% isn't on anybody's schedule.
Bob, what about that reality?
You mean you're
let's suppose
the
let's all hate
tax
the
cuts are a million of the 4 million of the of a trillion of the 4 trillion. Amy is absolutely right about that, but should we just give away the trillion?
Well, we're not giving it away when we aren't stealing.
But it is presented as if it's the panacea versus spending cuts.
Yeah, that's
and
an overstatement. It's a panacea compared to the other.
And
cuts,
it's also
Alan.
And also we don't see a proper characterization of the positive impact that can be derived from tax cuts.
There is discussion now of restoring the Clinton tax levels, which would be an enormous contribution toward reducing the deficit.
You've been talking about it for months.
Would that by default be a type of cut, Amy, to you, if in fact, you know, we kind of got the deductions coinciding with a lowering rate? I mean, what I want to remind everybody was, and Amy, you correct me if I'm wrong, but my recollection says that between 2004 and 2006, revenue jumped 20%. Going into the government because of those Bush tax cuts. Now,
yes. We
saw it happen there. We saw it happen with Kennedy. We saw it happen with Reagan. When you lower tax rates, you increase tax revenues because that many more businesses have that many more dollars to pay that many more people who turn around and pay that many more dollars in taxes. Why not take a shot at this? Bob, look at it this way. You could have that many more social programs. You just got to wait for the dollars to catch it up, but then it's there.
I'm not waiting for trickle down. I'm not waiting for
that's
the 1.6% GDP growth that's been under tax cut programs versus the 4%.
That's bubble up. Bob, don't you understand? We would all rather have money. We would all rather have stimulus money coordinated by people who actually make money versus the government that has an atrocious track record for hemorrhaging money.
Your country's safety net? I don't want the billionaires controlling our country's safety net because they're spending it on their yachts and they're not putting it into the programs that help people under them. The income disparity in the last two decades has grown by 20 times.
Guess what, though? You know what the difference is between the government and the wealthy? And, Amy, you might agree with this. The difference between the government and the wealthy is that the wealthy have a better idea of where the hell their money goes and how to better management than can be said of the government. But, actually, I'm looking at a lot of material I want to cover here, so let me dive right through it. Amy, for you first, the Democrats, and I asked this of some of my other guests, they've essentially popularized the need to or they had popularized the need to cool the rhetoric and approve the debt ceiling increase as really being synonymous with saving our AAA credit rating. Now, a lot of folks may have missed the fact that the rating agencies were calling for us to achieve at least $4 trillion in addition to raising the debt ceiling. And given that that reality has been confirmed and reconfirmed over and over and over and over again by S&P's David Beers, the head of that company's sovereign and international public finance ratings, why does the administration, in your estimation, as well as fellow Democrats, continue saying the opposite, Amy?
Well, it's politics. What we saw as soon as this happened was a lot of Democrats and liberals saying the same thing, which it's the Tea Party that's responsible. And one reason you can tell it's all coordinated is they don't say it's conservatives that are responsible, and half of them say it's the Tea Party. No, they're all saying the exact words. That this is the hallmark of people who are more worried about the political ramifications than the economic ones. The bottom line is, you're right. Standard & Poor's and others said we need at least $4 trillion of reduced debt, and the government didn't do it. And so this was predictable. We knew it was going to happen. I don't know why anybody is acting surprised.
Well, I don't disagree with anything you're both saying, except it's amazing that you're missing the word revenues in there. You're missing the cost of the wars in there. Standard & Poor's doesn't give a darn where we get the money from.
Exactly.
And we're spending it in the wars, and we're not getting
it.
And we're not getting it from revenues. And until we realize that truth, we're going to be in the same mess.
Yeah, but Bob, isn't it fair to say that more taxes would not go against our debt because they naturally enable already existing excessive spending? I mean, since every dollar raised in new taxes enables one more dollar to continue in waste, fraud, and abuse, why are we even considering it?
It's a separate issue to have the policy debate on the effectiveness of the money, but if you want to stop...
They're integrated. They are integral to one another. They are entangled. Look, don't taxpayers basically have the right to shout, hey, before you take any more money from us, kindly relocate what we've already given you? I mean, look, let's beat up on the wealthy all day long, okay? I'm happy to do it. Bob, you and I and Amy together will join hands, we'll embrace passionately, we'll have some mojitos, we'll light up a doobie, whatever you want, all right? We'll all beat up on the wealthy all day long. But at the end of the day, if you can't show any linking causation between the wealthy's success and the government overspending beyond their own self-created budgets, how then can you illustrate culpability? And if you can't illustrate culpability, how can you then convincingly argue that taxing them any more would be a relevant remedy? Bob Wiener.
Well, before you build the new civilization that we can all be kumbaya, you have to put out the fire. And we did not put out the fire. We all failed here.
We were willing to cut more.
Well, see, here's something that we have to acknowledge as a first. This is the first time that the debt ceiling being raised was something that was made contingent upon spending cuts, which means that it's the first time that the debt ceiling was used not as a further enabler to additional debt, but rather as a vehicle to perhaps counter that debt.
And we
It is imbecilic and brain dead to tell me that the reason we dropped from AAA to AA+
was by our own
is because of the debt ceiling debate. Because we were warned about this in December. We were told by Guyton in April that it would not happen. These facts don't disappear at anybody's convenience.
Obama should have just used the 14th Amendment and said, Congress, go play and make policy, but meanwhile, I'm protecting the laws of this country.
But the 14th Amendment says the debt shall not be questioned. However, it doesn't say that the methodology for payment can't be questioned, does it, Amy?
Well, no. I mean, there were many ways we could pay it. I mean, for one thing, we had the revenue to pay it. We just could have paid the thing.
So the 14th Amendment was irrelevant on this, and I know it better than most people on the show. What?
He just said that on the shows yesterday and the day before. We could have just printed the money.
That's what Greenspan says.
That's called quantitative easing. And the only reason why we've gotten away with it a couple of times is because China's been deliberately suppressing the value of their money, and it was an equalizer, so it kind of helped. But that's another show. Let me get on with something else here, because I know you guys have a lot to offer. And I'm just curious about this in general. This is actually not going to be a bone of contention for you guys, but maybe you can help me out. The European Central Bank, Bob, apparently is quickly buying both Italian and Spanish debt, or bonds, if you will. Now, is this advisable for the ECB? Because Germany doesn't think so. And let me ask you this more importantly. Does such a move invariably help us because it might further protect the shared interest between those countries and our own market forces by the ECB jumping in? What do you think?
And they're buying gold and they're buying U.S. Treasury, even though the supposed impact of the downgrade is to make our own bonds less valuable. People do wild things. I don't know if I'd buy Italian anything right now. They're up the creek.
You know, that's true, Amy. It really worked out strangely for us. U.S. Treasuries have benefited from the market sell-off because I guess they're seen as comparatively more stable than everything else. I imagine if there was ever a chance to buy low in the hopes of selling high, this would be it.
My brother's doing it today. He's buying stocks. Today's the day.
Amy?
Well, a lot of people feel that way. The problem Europe has is a lot of parts of it are far worse off than we are, possibly all of it, but that's arguable.
Very
and
quickly,
they were very foolish, in my opinion, creating the EU in the first place, because that meant their weakest link was running the whole place. And Germany is finally, as the strongest economy, Germany is finally saying, hey, guys, we don't want to be in charge of all of you. They've got a lot to sort out, but yes, we're benefiting that we're stronger than they are, but that isn't going to solve our problems if we don't get to work.
Just on the EU, from their point of view, their euro now is stronger than our dollar, and they've won on that particular issue.
Well, yeah,
oh, that's very volatile. That's very, very
Germany's
volatile, Bob.
Say, forget it.
We have to remember something about the EU. They have still failed to put together a constitution, which means that a bunch of their states are still locked in protectionism, which actually hinders the EU in the aggregate because they, like any business, need to be unfettered in their access to hire and fire in a fashion commensurate with their competitive needs. They're not doing it. That's going to be harmful to them. And you know what? Eventually, the euro is going to reflect that dynamic. Guys, you're great. Thanks. Stick with us, folks. Battle Line, Main Street. I'm Alan Nathan.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats make a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. Goats provide food, milk, and give Sudanese families the safety net to pursue education or set up a small business. They really are the gifts that keep on giving.
So, do you like it?
Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
There are a million reasons Staples makes going back to school easy. Today's reason? Their incredible selection of Windows laptops, perfect for your student. Now you don't have to hear.
You're giving me your old laptop, Mom? It's so big.
Or
the X key is missing. That's not an important letter.
Or our favorite.
Mom, what is a floppy disk?
So go to Staples for powerful and portable laptops from HP, Dell, and Toshiba. Even the amazing Samsung Princeton with the new Intel Core technology. Staples. That was easy.
The thing about hemorrhoids is they don't just bother you at home. On a plane, the pain can be nonstop to Seattle. On a train, you can have a little burning back there in your own caboose. But now, just carry new Preparation H Totables, discreet little tubes of pain relief cream, burning relief gel, or irritation relief wipes for the big relief you count on from Preparation H, the brand doctors recommend most by name among leading brands. New Preparation H Totables, the anywhere Preparation H. Use as directed.
Ray, technician from Safe Light Auto Glass.
A chip is 1,000 microcracks waiting to spread. One big bump and crack. We'll have to replace the whole windshield. But not if we repair the chip first with Safe Light's exclusive resin. It bonds stronger and lasts longer than other resins. And we guarantee it for life. Plus, with most insurance plans, it's no cost to you.
Call 1-800-800-2727 or go to safelight.com.
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
If you're a business owner and you want to grow your business through direct mail with no out-of-pocket costs, keep listening. More customers equal more money, right? Well, now you can get more customers in your store using direct mail with no upfront costs through foot traffic marketing. If your store does $10,000 or more a month in credit card sales, foot traffic marketing will design for you a custom direct mail campaign with no upfront costs. Call now for free information and to learn more. 800-709-4744. 800-709-4744. Again, if you know that direct mail can help your business grow and your store already does at least $10,000 or more in credit card sales, call now and learn how you can get more customers with no upfront costs. 800-709-4744. 800-709-4744. 800-709-4744.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think nobody's home and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical, and fire alert and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer at 1-866-789-3377. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-866-789-3377. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement, $35.99 per month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and protect your home license numbers. Call now, 1-866-789-3377. That's 1-866-789-3377.
I'm child behavioral therapist James Lehman. I know you need the Total Transformation Program to turn around your child's behavior. But for some reason, you haven't tried it. Maybe you're skeptical and doubt that it will work for you and your child. Listen, I'm willing to give away 1,000 copies of the Total Transformation to the most skeptical of parents for free. All I need you to do is send me your feedback about how it works for you and your child, and the program will be free. You get the program for free, and I get the satisfaction of knowing how the Total Transformation helped your child. Anyone who says they can change your child's behavior should be willing to prove it. We're going to prove once and for all that the Total Transformation Program works for every behavior problem imaginable, and it'll be free to 1,000 of my most skeptical customers.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402. That's 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402.
Welcome back, folks. Welcome back. Every year is Alan Nathan, the Militant Moderate. Once again, this is the Oasis. For those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach, Democrats say the Tea Party's resistance to raising the debt ceiling triggered America's credit downgrade. Also, what does that downgrade really mean to us, and how will it all impact the president's re-election hopes? We didn't get to that last question as we would have liked, but trust me, I know we're going to be revisiting that one. Anyway, assisting us with the news of the day, we have the Talk Radio News Service's very own White House correspondent, Victoria Jones. Victoria, welcome back. What's going on?
Thank you very much. Well, basically what's going on is, we've mentioned, the stock market tanked today, down about 630 points, and the president failed to calm jittery markets. Well, did he, in fact? I mean, could they have gone down 800 or 900 points if he hadn't come out at 130 and spoken? I think the reason coming out, of course, during the day rather than waiting until after the market had closed was to make exactly sure that things were not worse. But, you know, I have to say...
You know, it's funny you say that. I was looking at CNBC's coverage of it, and they show that while he was talking, that's when the drop was most precipitous. I don't imagine that. I don't know if he had any linking causation, but it's not comforting when somebody can point out that particular observation. You were saying?
Yeah, well, I mean, I have to say that I didn't find him inspirational today.
He was a... boy, what disturbs me
and
is...
You know, sometimes I think he is. Today I didn't.
He can be inspiring. He can be very uplifting. His rhetorical skills aren't necessarily in question. Or I don't know. Maybe he's really a little overrated because he does seem to have an over-reliance with those teleprompters, or as you would say in Britain, the auto-cues. But I don't want to get too preoccupied with that. What I'm really curious about is some of the other things that might bode well for us. I wanted to run this by you. European Central Bank apparently quickly buying both Italian and Spanish bonds, their debt. And I'm curious, number one, is it really advisable for the ECB to do this? Because Germany doesn't think so. And does such a move really invariably help us, however, because it might further protect, you know, the shared interest between those countries and our own market forces?
Well, the European Central Bank feels that it needs to intervene more aggressively in bond markets to protect Italy and Spain. Mm-hmm. And the central bankers and the national leaders are under a lot of pressure to try to do something to restore confidence and to sort of prevent an extension of the stock market rout that began last week. And by the way, we have a readout from the White House. The president spoke today with Spanish President Jose Luis Zapatero, and also separately with Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi about the latest developments in the Eurozone crisis, and apparently welcomed the measures pursued by Spain and Italy to address their immediate economic challenges and improve their competitiveness, which I think is a very dry way of saying that it was probably a much more lively call than that, let's put it that way.
I would imagine. So now, when Berlusconi spoke with him, was he in the company of his new bride, who I understand is celebrating her 14th birthday?
Well, I'm always wonder about that, don't you?
Now, what about Secretary of Treasury Tim Geithner? Some interesting stuff here. The Washington Post cited the reason that Secretary of Treasury Tim Geithner wound up staying on his post after first indicating that he would leave was, quote, several developments have made his departure more difficult. The debt ceiling was raised with only an hour to spare, The deal to tame the debt fell short of what Geithner and Obama wanted, unquote. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. In the beginning of the debt ceiling debate, Obama and Geithner wanted no debt reduction attached to the raising of the debt ceiling. Now, given that the president found religion pretty late in the service, does he really have a prayer of being taken seriously in this instance?
Well, you know, I think Geithner, generally speaking, is taken fairly seriously. I mean, I don't think that Geithner, even though he has occasionally said things that are not smart, is generally thought to be one of the smartest guys in the room.
And is that supposed to be a source of comfort?
That because it's considered to be a dumb room. I think it's because most people think that he's rather a smart guy.
You sure it's not a little like
difficult job?
You sure it's not like a little like you know, being the thinnest person at a fat farm? I mean,
no, I don't think so. Okay. I think that he's considered to be a really smart guy. Although, you know, I don't know why he didn't get out when he could.
Yeah, really duck that ammo while you can, right? Just get out while you can.
Yeah.
While you can. Other things that have me curious are whether or not the president is going to continue enjoying a bit of a difference in poll results following the debt ceiling debate as compared to the Republicans and also the Tea Party folks. As you may have heard this, President Obama has fared in the polls following this firefight. But since all the polls leading up to the crescendo illustrated a majority wanting the debt ceiling increase to be contingent upon spending cuts versus no cuts, as first preferred by the Democrats, does that fact expose the poll's aggregate contradictions, if you will? It seems very odd. Okay, right now he's looking better in the polls following the debt ceiling fiasco, but during the lead-up, he was most assuredly on the side of the argument getting beaten up in the polls. Why the irony?
Well, the polls also showed very clearly that people wanted revenue increases as well. People wanted both. People wanted spending cuts. People wanted revenue increases. They wanted both things.
They did want that, but disproportionately, even in that equation, they still expected more cuts than tax rate. I'm wondering if the way out of this isn't through those tax expenditures, those specific favored deductibles that certain industries get to have over others. I think Tom Coburn might be on to something. You know, these are privileged cuts. They're not really. So he would say getting rid of these tax expenditures is not tantamount to raising tax rates. And I'm thinking, and you and I think have discussed this as well, do you believe this might be a possible Solomonic way out of the equation? I mean, this way the Republicans could say, hey, we did not raise the rates as demanded by the Democrats. And the Democrats could say, hey, we got increased revenue to go along with the obligatory spending cuts. I see this as a way out. Am I perhaps being too Pollyanna about this?
No, I don't think so. And sometimes, you know, sometimes Pollyanna has it right.
Yeah. I mean, this would do it. I mean, I am staunchly for lowering tax rates, like John F. Kennedy was, because like Kennedy, I know that when you lower rates, you increase tax revenues because that many more businesses have that many more dollars to hire that many more people who can pay that many more taxes. It worked during Kennedy. It worked during Reagan. From 04 to 06, it even worked for Bush. We had a 20% increase of revenue following the tax cuts. So I do think that should be the plan of the day. But Republicans, and I agree with Coburn, have got to extricate themselves from the belief that tax expenditures and the removal of them is tantamount to a tax hike. It is just not. It's ensuring that everybody gets subjected to universal fairness versus too cute by half measure, but that's just me. Victoria Jones, White House correspondent for Talk Radio News Service. Always a blast. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Folks, you're with Battleline, Main Street Radio Network. I'm Alan Nathan.
The opinions you hear on the Business Talk Radio Network are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of this station, Business Talk Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Business Talk Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Investing involves risks. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about the Business Talk Radio Network, contact us at 203-323-7300 or at our website, businesstalkradio.net.
USA Radio News. I'm Hope Duggar. Wall Street has taken it on the chin after Friday's downgrading of American debt. The Dow Industrials suffered their sixth worst point decline in more than a century, plummeting almost 635 points to 10,809. But analysts say it's about more than debt. It's also about the faltering economy here and in Europe. With a test vote in Iowa coming up soon, two Republican hopefuls are trying to pin the economic woes on President Barack Obama. Michelle Bachmann says the U.S. got through the Great Depression without a debt downgrade.
We are suffering now. We're suffering and we're laboring under high taxes. We're suffering and laboring under an economy that we're told is in recovery. Does it feel to you like we're in recovery?
And Tim Pawlenty says the decision by the rating agency makes it clear that the federal government is out of control and needs to be cut back. This is IRN USA Radio News.
If you're considering buying hardwood floors, stop! Don't do anything until you get your free 60-page Lumber Liquidators catalog and coupon for free flooring samples. If you want beautiful hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
Call right now to get your Lumber Liquidators catalog absolutely free. It's full of project tips and ideas, laminate, bamboo, and hardwood floors, including Bellawood, all warrantied and all at rock-bottom prices. As a bonus, we'll include hundreds in coupons. And for the first time on radio, a coupon for free samples redeemable at your local Lumber Liquidator store. The catalog and samples are free. Call 800-580-7290 to get yours now. 800-580-7290. 800-580-7290.
The Justice Department and attorneys general from four states have joined a lawsuit against a for-profit college accused of paying recruiters to enroll students. The Justice Department says paying incentives to recruiters is illegal. Education Management Corporation got $11 billion in federal and state financial aid. A federal appeals court says a lawsuit against Donald Rumsfeld for actions while Defense Secretary can go forward. Two Americans who worked for an Iraqi contracting firm say they were tortured using techniques approved by Rumsfeld after they blew the whistle on alleged illegal activities by the firm. An online attack against dozens of rural American law enforcement agencies has left some officials wondering whether they'll be able to ward off future hacking attempts. The attack by the Hackers Collective Anonymous on law enforcement agencies in Arkansas, Kansas, Louisiana, Missouri, and Mississippi was likely so broad in scope because many sites were hosted by the same Arkansas company. Internet security experts say the best hackers can beat the tools meant to stop them, and many potential victims don't suspect they'll be targeted. For the latest news and analysis, log on to IRNUSANews.com.
On to round three. If a train leaves Spokane...
Schenectady by Saturday!
Correct. March comes before May. What's in my left pocket?
Half a mint and a rusty switchblade!
Correct.
Bam!
Who lets you watch TV episodes and movies instantly over the internet?
Ha-ha! Netflix!
Correct! Watch unlimited TV episodes and movies for only $8 a month from Netflix! See terms of use.
That is rad!
I know. Can you put me down now?
Sorry, I'm a hugger.
The Mexican government statistical unit says the country's net outflow of migrants has fallen to almost nothing. Fewer migrants are entering Mexico, but the number leaving has dropped even faster. The National Statistics Institute says Mexico lost about 0.09% of its population to migration.